Hi there, podcast listener. You're doing this whole thing on audio, despite it being a TV show, because, like a hipster, you have a fondness for radio in days gone by. But we're glad to see you. We're here, you again. This is the first show back. Good Morning Mug Club every Monday through Thursday up until election, along with special streams for every debate, town hall. We really hope that you enjoy this program as much as we did making it. That really wasn't that much. I hope you enjoy it more.
All you know is the money. You don't make no brand.
How old are you, dude? I
hate y'all so much. Turn that shit down. I want to hear what she has to say.
Oh, I thought we were doing our... let's go to the intro. People didn't know the intro here. Oh, my God. This is the first stream back. Do we have the intro, Quarterback Garrett? There we go.
Hey.
Subject for today...
I'm excited about that change of mind.
I'm glad to be with you. Do we have it now? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's playing.
It's playing. Is it not going through? Do we have the other clips going through? Let me just introduce everybody. We have my quarter black producer, half Asian lawyer here.
Hey, friends.
How are you, Bill Richman?
Glad to be here.
Lawyer Bill Richman. And we have Reg the Bandit, our researcher here in not really third chair, second chair, because Gerald A. had his baby.
Yeah, what a
joke. Actually, so he will not be back here with us for a little while. And we couldn't get Gerald B. because we ran out of budget for the quarter.
Yeah. Also, he's busy. True.
He's busy. Yeah, he's very busy.
He's also having a baby.
He's got other work.
If you need a great lamprey impressionist for children's parties, bar mitzvahs.
Yeah.
Story time.
Gerald B. does cameos.
Gerald
if anybody's,
B. does cameos, particularly in the story, the history of Lake Champlain. he is fantastic in that. Please do. By the way, we're going to be talking about a lot today. We're going to be going through the entire George Floyd video that many people have not necessarily seen. We're going to be going through why CNN is everything wrong with journalism, why apparently Reg the Bandit cannot get his bandit mask on properly.
It's like
a bandit that was in a furnace.
He's like the Hamburglar, but...
He's like the Hamburglar, but can't decide if he would prefer grilled cheese.
Yeah, I have I feel like everyone just expects this of me, but I'm more than hamburgers!
I have a lot more appreciation for bandits and what they do.
Yeah.
After grappling with this mask.
It's a difficult job.
It's impressive.
I also have a lot more appreciation for raccoons.
Yeah.
Did you think about it?
Sorry, technically a trash panda. Thank you.
No, that's absolutely correct. I don't think so because they're not in the... Are pandas in the rodent family?
Probably.
All right, let me hit you with this. First, do subscribe to Crowder Bits, please. Of course, the podcasts are now available on Apple, Android,
That's
Spotify,
right.
wherever podcasts are. And we're going to be doing Good Morning Mug Club every morning, Monday through Thursday, all the way up until election, outside of nights where there will be debates, town halls. By the way, of course, Joe Biden. The one prediction, if someone out there can pull this from ago to 9 months ago to 8 months ago, I said the only prediction I will make, you guys remember this, I said was that Joe Biden will not appear on stage to debate Donald Trump. Lo and behold, they're coming up with reasons. Yep. And not just COVID reasons. Reasons like, this is just clearly an attack against the old and disabled. That's the problem.
Debates. It's outdated.
Yeah. They might do it with Zoom, where you can have an earpiece, you know, like one of those people, like a mega church, where they have that flesh colored microphone.
Maybe just a stick that opens his mouth
and it's like,
his mouth.
You love Jesus. Right. That's what I forgot.
There's nothing more that I want you to be wrong about than the no debates. I mean, it's
all be so entertaining.
By the way, a Zoom debate does not count. A Zoom debate does not count. Yeah. If they do it by the little FaceTime, like Stephen Colbert does his late night show, it doesn't count. We're also going to be getting into Antifa burning down Chicago, which was happening last night. But first, CNN is on. Let's see what they're talking about really quick. Oh, Amy Klobuchar. She's alive.
It's unconstitutional, this idea that you're going to roll back the payroll tax, then put that on the backs of seniors and their Social Security. Well, truly, I just don't think that's the way to go.
All right. Well, you're a lawyer. In addition to being a senator, you're a
so are you, half Asian Bill.
Wow, even Poppy's like,
that's what we lawyers, I'm a lawyer, call a counteroffer.
Poppy's working from Wikipedia. You're a lawyer.
And the thing is, whenever I hear someone talk about Poppy Harlow's show, I don't know if you, but I never think of that. I think of like, I'm Poppy.
Whoa.
I think like a big Latino guy, like a Latino daddy, like, hey,
see. You can't say that. It's racist.
You're going to like it. Ay, Poppy. Not Harlow. Different Poppy.
She's the best of all the Poppies.
I just think of PewDiePie.
Really?
See, we're showing our generational differences.
Is that considered? Someone called me a boomer the other day just because I didn't like Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Well, I don't feel ashamed. I was right to say that.
And by the way, we are going to be, of course, live exclusive on The Blaze after the YouTube. Yeah. For people who don't know, where we will be chatting with you. So please do consider joining
we're
Mug Club. Right now, Gerald is calling in. Gerald, how are you, sir? He's calling in to
thanks for letting me call in today.
Absolutely.
As you can see, we have little Luke Morgan right here.
Kind of gross.
Look at this little guy. So this is keeping me out of the... I know. He's been... sleeping so well, but I miss you guys. I can't wait to get back in the studio with you guys.
You know what we're
hang
doing.
Out and jump
thank
back
you.
Into the Good Morning Mug Club with everybody.
Can you hear me? We're doing okay with that. Let's go.
Yeah,
we're not going to stay with you there, Gerald. Thank you very much. One hell of an advertisement for Dyson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He would take off the sticker. Still have the logo back.
He planned that.
Is that birth control? Or?
I don't know.
He didn't give us the promo code.
It's the cyclone-powered vacuum.
Oh,
have you ever seen the guy who engineers it? He's in a commercial. It's very different from vacuum. Like, usually, you can clean up this. He's like, when I went into engineers at Dyson, like he's Elon Musk.
Never stopped sucking.
I realized that I still had throw up on my floor. And so I realized that the typical bag vacuum wasn't working. So it needs cyclone, the power of the cyclone, to clean up the spit up. Like, okay, all right, thanks. He's passionate about Dyson.
I don't think he's German.
I think he is.
He's a British dude. He's
like Steve
it's
Jobs.
A British dude.
Yeah.
He comes off as aggressively German.
Yeah.
What was my question of the day? Do we remember what the question I think was?
You got
a question here, because I was expecting an intro. Quarterback. I don't remember exactly what. With Black Lives Matter, listen, just tell us what you think about the riots. How about that?
Yeah.
We've been gone for a while. We have a change of mind tomorrow where I almost was attempted murdered by Antifa. So I want to know at what point you think the riots are actually riots, because you'll see this tomorrow in the change of minds. We're like, nah, man, they protest.
No, they protest.
I'm like, what point is it considered a riot? How many cars been tipped over? All of them. On this street, it's all the cars.
Answer in the chat, by the way.
Yeah, answer in the chat. We'll bring that a little bit. But first, I love Droopy. I love Mr. Bill Barr.
Yeah.
Let's go to the most recent violence that's been going on in Chicago. And a statement from none other than Bill Barr, who has, I mean, this guy just, he clanks when he walks. He's got such a brass pair.
It's a form it's a new form of urban guerrilla warfare. You know, Mao Tse Tung used to speak about the gorilla being like fish swimming in the ocean, the way the gorilla moves through the people. The gorilla hides out among the people as a fish in the ocean. And what they do is they are essentially shielding themselves or shrouding themselves in First Amendment activity. They go into the demonstrations, which are exercising First Amendment activity, and they insinuate themselves in there to shield themselves. That's where they swim.
By the way, unlike was it Anita Dunn? Who was Anita Hill? Who was it who invoked Mao? You can probably find that red first. Like, I look to inspiration for Mao. Anita Hill was Clarence Thomas, right?
You know that's not my mother's name.
No, I'm trying to think of it was someone who he was basically saying, "Hey, Mao says this, and these people are Maoists." I love how he started off with a Mao quote, and you're like, "Where is he going with this gorilla fish?" And then he ties it back around.
Yeah,
whereas if Joe Biden,
masterful.
Like, there's a I don't know if you know this, but. Kim Jong Mao said that there can be fish, and some of the fish became gorillas, but then they went back, and that's evolution, folks. What?
The story of life.
Who? It happened.
You don't question my mental.
And then a black guy walks in and he's like, "You got any crack?"
I forget.
They have crack, folks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess
I think he would probably just look at him and go.
I love that Joe Biden assumed all black people do crack when he was being interviewed by that guy. He's like, it's like me saying you do crack. Why would you assume that, Joe Biden? Black! Because you're black!
I live in a different time.
Is what I would say if I were the gorilla in the fish.
The swimming gorilla.
Your potential future president, folks.
Yeah.
Who
was
it was inspired by Mao? Did you find it?
Anita Dunn.
Anita Dunn. I was right. Anita Dunn. Crazy. Crazy bitch! She's in the fish! So, Let's go to Chicago. For people who don't know, there have been so many riots. That's the way you're going. Get off, Biden.
Move on.
And the reason we're late this morning is because we couldn't get CNN to play for some reason. And it's not as good, this show, without the CNN playing. There have been a lot. Portland, obviously. Austin. But Chicago last night was a very special place in the hearts of Antifa and BLM. And let's see the peaceful protests that occurred as they exercised their First Amendment rights. Oh, Walgreens. That's never a good sign.
Well, there must be an opiate, a fire inside. That's why they're running.
What's these pants looking like, y'all? What's these lucky brands? Nobody want that shit.
Really? Nobody wants that. I know some people who would be grateful for $175 dungarees.
I love this. What are they doing in Tesla? Are they going to steal a wall charger? I mean,
no idea. What do you? Yeah, Tesla. They don't have anything. They have test cars.
Right.
But they put them in sentry mode.
Yeah. How are you going to get it?
They go, I'm going to take this car. Beep beep beep. Back away. What the? Oh, white people crazy. I'm going to go back get some Lucky jeans. Maybe I trade them in for what do Reg the Bandit? What do black people wear? You were a professor there in Memphis for a long time. They don't like Lucky. Back in my day, it was the FUBU.
Yeah.
See, that's. Yeah.
You're anonymous. You can
four
give me an answer.
You know, Reg.
No.
Loves
we
FUBU,
did.
Right?
We didn't talk about clothes so much. I'll say that wasn't a topic of the conversation.
Yeah. You know what? I don't regret it. So this is what. Let's go through this really quickly. When people say peaceful protests and people say riots, of course, not everybody out there is rioting. We know that, right? And cover. Not everyone is rioting.
Yeah, correct.
But when you have 900 law enforcement casualties, when you have at least $600 million in damages, when you have over 20 people who've died as a result or indirect result of these protests. I think it's at least 14 as a direct result of these protests. 14,000 arrests. Can you point me to any, this is the thing, for any right-wing example of that? Any. One. I know they're going to point us to Charlottesville and say, well, listen, Charlottesville was a group of guys with tiki torches, and someone ran one person over with a car. Tragedy, of course, terrible, should have never happened. But it wasn't a group of people who went out en masse across the country to intimidate the other half of the country into silence and commit repeated acts of premeditated violence, often damaging, of course, those in their own community the most, in the black community. I don't know who owns that Walgreens. I know in Baltimore we had examples of, back then, black business owners who didn't want their stuff being burned to the ground. Yep. And if you want to talk about entitlement, how can a rioting looter turn down Lucky Jeans? I went to Lucky Jeans once next to Grauman's Chinese Theater in Los Angeles. I was like, what? This is $184 for a belt buckle that says Lucky?
Well, their arms were already full.
Their arms were already full.
Their cup runneth over, gentlemen.
My cup runneth over with fast chargers and HEPA filters for biodefense mode in my Model S, y'all.
I do love that. I would love to have seen them just carrying one out, like a group of, 15, doing the, one finger trust plank thing, but with carrying the Tesla.
Carrying a Tesla out?
It would have been amazing.
Those things are heavier than
No, you got to take the fuel cell out, and then you just got the chassis, and that's it. Done.
It's a lithium ion battery. Again, sponsored by Dyson, the wonderful show, as we talk about lithium ion battery technology.
It doesn't stop sucking.
We're going to go back to Elon Musk. I hope that he stays on the right side, but I feel like he's going to veer back left as soon as it's convenient for him.
You, Elon.
I don't know. I don't trust the man. We have another clip here. This is one that I find incredible because it's not really talked about. And of course, we've gone through the riots quite a bit in the past. We've gone point by point through what was going on. We've done these live streams, but this is just what's been happening in the last 24 hours. I don't know if this specific video, I think this is Chicago as well, where they're blocking a street and the man pulls out his firearm in a manner which will have my half Asian lawyer, Bill Richmond, chime in, I believe is illegal. Let's run this clip. Gun. His finger is on the trigger. It's on the trigger. Now, to be clear, that wasn't self-defense. That wasn't a Dodge Challenger coming his way. That was just a truck going through a road, which some would say is the originally intended purpose of the road. Kind of like when we talk about original intent with the Founding Fathers, Constitution, First Amendment, Second Amendment. Sure. We can go back to original intent of roads.
Steven, that sounds like your white privilege.
It does sound like white privilege, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, y'all going on roads, riding, wearing Lucky and shit.
Who built these roads, though? Who built these roads?
Yeah, I don't know. And I get that the guy aiming the gun is white, and I understand it. And, you know, listen, obviously there's Antifa and there's Black Lives Matter. I think it's important to now understand that the organizations are inextricably linked. I think a lot of Republican politicians out there have been absolute pansies because they're afraid to call Black Lives Matter out as a terrorist organization. Not people saying Black Lives Matter, just like people saying, I believe in treating animals ethically is not the same as PETA. Right? Same thing. There's a difference. Yeah. By the way, do you know that PETA, that they're actually, a lot of people don't know this about PETA, they actually don't even originally believe in pets.
What? Yeah.
They believe in total and complete animal liberation. They're against pets.
Animal liberation.
Yeah, which if it's total animal liberation, you don't have pets.
Free animals.
You would just have to, like, you would euthanize more dogs than ever. Yeah. Do you have any idea in Texas with the death penalty, how lever happy they are for... pissing and screwing all over the place. Yeah.
But dogs should have the right to vote, though. That's the ultimate goal for PETA.
Absolutely, especially ones that come over in a
franchise.
But PETA actually does.
No voter ID necessary. If you've got a microchip, you can vote.
Yeah.
Would you like to vote in by mail? Woof! Good enough for me.
Good enough.
Kamala Harris, that is your 19th term. Gorilla and the fish. So is that legal, by the way, just pulling out your gun? Because I want to be clear, open carrying is legal. Is that just open?
So there's the difference, right? And you know, in a lot of different states, you have brandishing laws. And that becomes the question, particularly in that state, is when someone is approaching in their vehicle, you're in the way of their vehicle, they're stopped. I mean, it would have been a different story if it was, you know, had hit someone or was approaching or looked menacing. But nothing about that situation, even earlier in the clip, shows anything that would be menacing. Mm-hmm. So certainly people are allowed to defend themselves. But that gentleman is the one in the mask with the gun is clearly trying to provoke a situation by brandishing his weapon in a threatening way. And not to say that that would justify, you know, if it starts to get raised, there's a really hard line to determining when you need to defend yourself. It's a split second decisions. Mm-hmm. And glad that that truck driver, you know, felt safe enough that they could back away and try and do something different. But you're getting to the point where you really look like you're threatening another person. And that is the definition of
illegal
brandishing.
Well, they blocked him again.
Yeah. And
yeah, they blocked him later.
Right. Exactly.
Right after.
Yeah.
when the truck moves, they move with it.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, so they're obviously trying to provoke. Okay.
It's like Austin Powers with a golf cart, only it's people. It's like, I go back. Yeah. What would be hilarious, I would just love someone to go in with their dogs, their like trained Schutzen dogs, and just let them reach in the car, let a dog bite one hand, and go, everyone else would be like, what was that? It was a dog, man. And then just look at them and lower down all the windows with a kennel of dogs. Because there can't be a judge in the world who would be mad at someone if people were reaching in the car and the dog protected it, right?
Well, it probably wouldn't be so good for the people who stuck their hands in.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah. Nobody's playing guitars
after that. That's just a
good time. Right.
That's just good TV.
Yeah, you're just entertaining at that point.
Contrasting that with bad TV, we have CNN and Tales from the Crypt here.
These dates and at these numbers. What the email said is that between July 27th and August 7th, so
be
the
ready
first
by
2 weeks
election
of the trial.
Day.
Oh, wow. Why does that matter?
That's a time?
That's an odd timeline. Is this the medical timeline? Is this how we gauge flu seasons usually? It's like, well, actually, if you look at the flu season of 2008, which of course ranged from the previous flu season in May to Al Gore won the recount, you can see, sorry, I apologize, that was John Kerry. But 2001, Kevin Costner made a movie about it. Pretty much, we're confident that we won't have a vaccine come election day, and so we're going to continue crippling the economy. Back to you, puppy. This is CNN right now.
Right.
Deaths, and this is what I've talked about. Oh, by the way, that's just globally deaths. Then deaths in the United States, 162,000. What did I tell you guys? Reg, are you alive? He's stop looking down at the computer.
He's doing too much research. You don't need to do this.
What I'm looking up is the interesting thing about all these vaccines. People keep saying we need a COVID vaccine, and then we can open things up. But we already have a flu vaccine. And tens of thousands of people get flu every year. So I was just trying to look up, I think especially with the schools, I think that I would be interested to see what the rates are with children getting the flu and children getting COVID. Because you know that young people tend not to get COVID as much, and it's much less severe. But my feeling is that kids do get influenza quite a bit.
Yeah, actually, more kids die from the flu than COVID in many, when we're looking at the data right now. We don't have it because there are so few young people with COVID. Not ironic, I'm sounding like a hipster. But something that is interesting is COVID is far more deadly for older people than even the normal flu.
Yeah.
Not as deadly as something like pneumonia, but it seems to be significantly, from what we know right now, less deadly to young people, because babies, young people die from the flu all the time. Mm-hmm. So this is just kind of part and parcel of a new virus that people don't totally understand. But they did remove Donald Trump, I believe, on Facebook, was it? Because he did an interview, I think it was on Fox News. He said, listen, and I will say this, however you feel about it, children are almost completely, but I'll say almost immune, virtually immune. In New Jersey, there were X thousand cases of people, and there was one person under 18 who died with diabetes. So I would say virtually, like Donald Trump, that must be really hard to hedge it. Because everything in his mind is just saying, like, say 100%, say 100%, say 100%, tell him to eat your rear.
Yeah.
But he's like, almost virtually, I twitch, I'm not always right.
But
hard.
Statistically,
for him,
that is zero.
Yes.
Yeah. That is a
statistically,
zero.
It's 0%.
Right. So I do have the number here. So the CDC, according to them, since February, we've had 15 deaths under age 15 from COVID in the U.S. compared to about 200 from flu and pneumonia. So again, that's I can't do the math in my head, but that's exponentially.
That's significantly
less. Yeah.
It's one of those things. If you're going to talk about a place where like the only place where people could maybe socially distance less than a school might be like a bouncy hop.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, the ball
that
pit.
That would probably be pretty safe because you could spray them down with Purell once they come out, because really you're concerned about them transmitting it to older people because they have to ruin it for everyone. Yeah. But kids, they're about as safe as can be. Yeah. This is an example of helicopter parenting at this point.
Yeah.
If you are talking about something that is not even close right now from the numbers we have to as deadly as the common flu, and I need to be really clear about this because death rates have changed. John Oliver did a segment on this. It pissed me off to know. Oh my gosh, I'm so glad to be back. I was watching things. When John Oliver talked about that video from those two doctors in California who were removed from, they were removed for talking about and downplaying death rates that were wildly inaccurate. Okay, that was my best John Oliver.
That was really good.
It was pretty good. What death
like
rate did they say it was? They said it was about 0.3%.
Right.
Which is the death rate now, the revised death rate. So he just said these doctors were removed for misinformation when the fact is they were correct. Because at that point, they were still saying 2.whatever million people could die from the Imperial College study, Imperial College of London, I believe, study. And then they were saying that the death rate was anywhere from 1 to 7%.
But then, but then John Oliver released a whole segment about how wrong he was, right?
Right, yes, exactly.
Okay.
Let me tell you, I was wrong. I got it wrong, and my writers, who use Slate unironically as a source, have corrected me. Nope, not going to happen. This is the problem. There's no accountability from the media whatsoever, so I'm so glad to be back in the saddle.
So,
because one final... Well, Len, I want you to come in because you're far more educated. COVID is overblown. They're still counting the deaths, despite the fact that flu season deaths always end somewhere in the spring. They're counting them in their totality. They're giving us a timeline up to election time. And 900 officer casualties, $600 million in property damage, likely billions now, 14,000 arrests. COVID is overblown. These aren't protests. They're riots. There you go. We caught up on all the news. Don't believe CNN, but watch them anyways. Go ahead.
Two things. One, when are people going to start taking down the John Oliver original video?
Right.
When are those clips going to come down? Oh, it's totally wrong.
Yeah. No. Right.
Oh, okay. Well, great. Well, we have you admitting that you were spreading false information.
False information.
And you weren't listening to these medical providers, and it's a problem. Second thing is, I almost guarantee you that if Biden wins, there will be a count from the election. That's when the new count will start.
Right.
Well, since the American people
like
chose
a new age.
Joe Biden,
right.
COVID deaths have gone down. I mean, ignore that we now have a vaccine. Build back better.
And ignore the fact that his first executive action was, for some reason, putting gorillas into the middle of the ocean.
confusing.
We don't really know. He was talking with Anita Dunn. Wires got crossed. So let's go back to the riots here, and then we'll get to the George Floyd tape, which I think is the most. I want to know how many people out there have seen the full George Floyd tape. And I've heard people comment on it, but we are going to show you the entire George Floyd tape. Warning, you don't need a warning. It's not graphic at all. No one dies. And it's actually the least combative, upsetting police interaction that I can think of in modern memory. Less so than my last ticket, and I got off with a warning.
These guys are downright restrained.
Right, but the cop asked me. We had re-registered the car. My wife didn't put on the new sticker. And the cop goes, why are you not up to date? I said, oh, I am. And I showed him the registration, the tag. He goes, oh, but you just didn't put it on your car? The hell's wrong with you? I was like, oh. He goes, nah, I'm just joshing. Okay, you're fine. Just here's a warning. But at that point, I thought, like, hands on the wheel. Nothing's wrong with me, officer. I'm an entirely functioning adult. I'm okay. Can I reach over here and show you my registration?
No
sudden movements? Okay. I thought I could do it because I was white. My mistake. This is how we live, by the way. This is how we live as white people. When we get pulled over by the cops, you just bitch slap them. That's what I do most of the time. I go,
they let you do it.
What? I got your ticket right here. And they go, well, oopsie daisy.
Always a winner with those guys.
So, I'm pretty confident they just laugh and they're like, oh, this guy's got enough problems as it is.
Right. Yeah, well, he is a patient. Part of the suicide rate that doesn't happen with other ethnicities. It's a middle-aged white male problem. I know I look down the barrel of a gun and a bottle of Jack Daniels every night. So you know what? You're free to go with a warning, sir. Thank you, officer. I share your pain, even though the media doesn't care. Let's go back to that. Got dark.
That got dark.
Very dark. I have never looked down the barrel of a gun because I practice firearm safety.
Yeah.
Walther sponsorship. this is, by the way, what happens just as part of a sliver of good news before we move on to George Floyd. When Antifa tries to take over, you could either say the wrong neighborhood.
This is great.
But this is the sort of perspectives. From Antifa's perspective, the wrong neighborhood. From everybody else's perspective, namely those in the neighborhood, the perfect opportunity. Here you go.
So we are currently marching the Antifa commie bastards out of the neighborhood. Nobody wants Antifa in the neighborhood. Nobody wants them here, so we're marching them out.
Go, we will. As soon as you guys step away from the f***ing houses, we're going to leave.
This is kind of like when Spider-Man goes to the suburbs.
It doesn't work.
Antifa's just like, wait, there are no roadways to block. Then they start punching them and choking them. It's a lot of fun. But it's like Spider-Man in the suburbs where it's like he just runs up and down curbs, you know, but like hops over zealously. They're like, well, what are you going to do? You're going to block a cul-de-sac? Yeah. There's nothing. It's a crescent. It's a crescent. There's nothing you can do with the row houses, Antifa. I don't know what they were thinking going out there, but I will say this. When people talk about the election, this goes, because Antifa is moving out to the suburbs in the country.
They are.
I was in a distinctly red district in Michigan. Which I was totally wrong about this in 2016, the election. I did not think Michigan was going to go for Donald Trump, and that was largely because I didn't see any Trump signs, and I didn't see many Hillary Clinton signs. I saw some local election signs, but Michigan was consistently blue, and it's been run by the unions, right? But at this point, they weren't really big on Hillary Clinton, so I wouldn't be surprised if Michigan goes against Donald Trump. I think it'll be closer than people anticipate. However, I was in a very, very red rural district that went unbelievably Trump, something like 70 or 80% in the last election. I didn't see any Trump signs. I saw a handful of Biden signs. I saw a lot of signs thanking their sheriff. I saw a lot of signs thanking the governor for keeping their lives safe. Someone asked me that when I was in Michigan. They said, oh, you're in the hotbed in Texas there. How's that working out for you? I said, well, three times the population. About one-third the death rate, so I guess I should thank my governor for not screwing up our economy.
I'm not afraid to leave my house.
I'm not afraid to leave my house.
Big deal. Doing real
I don't go to Quick Trip and no one says, show me your papers. I'm like, this is a Dyson guy. There was one Trump sign that I saw on a lot of acreage, and it was covered in razor wire above the sign because it had been destroyed and burned down in the country.
We have
Donald Trump. We'll get to his approval ratings, which are going up considerably and surprisingly in the black community. And conservatives have been forced underground. Why? Because, listen, people can put up a Biden sign without consequence. No one here is going to burn that down.
Right.
No one needs to protect their Biden sign with razor wire against Audio Wade or half-Asian lawyer Bill Richmond or even myself after a few daiquiris. You don't need to.
Daiquiris?
I love it.
The daiquiris?
Yeah. It was a long break. I did some experiments.
You wanted to feel like he
it's
was
sugary.
So there was one Trump sign covered in razor wire. So I don't think conservatives are answering the polls. I don't think that you can take into account the enthusiasm. I think it's very, very hard to gauge where this election is going, and they are doing everything they can to try and manipulate it. Yeah. But by the way, speaking of all this trying to keep yourself safe, when you go online, a lot of people, you know, you get tracked everywhere. This is the thing that says, like, accept cookies. What you don't realize is when you just said accept cookies, you just said, you can have my dick pics. So... ExpressVPN, they protect you. It's a VPN, but we actually trust them as a VPN because there have been some big VPNs out there that have actually had some breaches and didn't let their people know, which almost defeats the purpose of a VPN.
Almost. And don't use the free ones.
It's like, wait
Come
a second,
on.
Your data was breached as a VPN? Well, what's... But I thought you were a VPN. We were, we just didn't VPN it.
Yeah, oops.
None of the V. Yeah.
So it only takes a minute to set up on your phone ExpressVPN. They're a wonderful sponsor of the show. Go to expressvpn.com/Crowder. It's what we use. We used it when we did some of the YouTube searches with Tulsi Gabbard and all that, and actually totally helped us with some of the YouTube algorithms, figure what was going on. So expressvpn.com/Crowder. Get the first 3 months free. Protect your data online. That's it. Let's move on here to the George Floyd full tape. Anyone here, has everyone here watched all of this?
Yes.
Did I, we have the White Privilege Boys a little later. Is that correct? Yeah, or did I miss it?
Not today.
Yeah. Oh, we don't have it today?
Not today.
Oh, all right.
I mean, I could
we don't
it.
Have it?
You want it today. I could bring it.
We might have
bring
printed it. That off too early.
Okay, we printed it off too early. Never mind. George Floyd, the full tape. So, again, my question to you is, who has watched the full tape and has it changed the context? Here's what I will say. In watching this tape, now I don't need to issue a warning because it's not disturbing. We're going to watch it in its entirety and pause it at places that I think are, I guess, notable. The entire tape itself is notable. What is most interesting to me is the most notable portions of this tape as it relates to the narrative were never released. When you have Keith Ellison, who never let the public know about this, they had access to this tape this entire time, and it took someone from the UK to videotape their screen like it was Jerry Seinfeld with Death Blow. that's the only way we got our hands on this. Listen, it reiterates what we've said before, reinforces the idea that the problem with the police is training, right? The knee on the neck. But after watching this full tape, not only do I not think that they're going to make Murder 2 stick, I think that these police officers are going to walk, which is, if they'd have released this tape that you're about to watch,
riots are gonna
there
start.
Never would have been riots. That's why the tape was never released. No reasonable juror in watching this, and you'll watch it with me, tell me if you think I'm wrong, could actually attribute motive, malicious motive, or certainly racism here. I'll set the tone. When I watch the full tape with George Floyd, I see someone who's high out of his mind, he's not even someone who's comprehensible, and people, police officers, who feel kind of bad for him, who feel sympathetic for him. This idea that they were roughing him up from the get-go, no. So with that being said, let's watch the George Floyd full tape for people who missed it, and then you tell me if this changes the context. Let's start with the pullover.
I see your hands.
Let me see your other hand.
His hand is reaching back there, by the way. Do you see that? His right hand is reaching back. Look at that. Reaching back. Is that what you do when cops pull you over, folks?
Hand up there. Hands on the wheel.
This is the only time where a gun makes an appearance.
Hands on the wheel.
Hands are on the wheel.
Put your foot back in.
God dang, man, I got shot the same way as I was before.
Okay, well, when I say, let me see your hands, you put your hands up. You got him?
Dang, man.
Put your hands on top of your head.
Now when he complies, and you see when he finally does comply and keep his hands on his, the gun goes away. It never comes back out.
Hands on top of your head. Hands on top of your head. Step out of the vehicle and step away from me, all right? Step out and face away. Step out and face away.
Okay, please don't shoot me. Please, man.
I'm not
going to
shoot you.
Pause. Please don't shoot me. His gun is already away.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know about you. I think it's entirely appropriate when a guy is reaching back and you say hands on the wheel and he is not complying at all.
Yeah.
You have to have a firearm out because let me change one thing, okay? Hands on the wheel. Oh, man, I'm sorry, officer. I'm sad. Bad, bang, 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 click, bang. That's what happens.
Right,
it does happen, by the way. We have this statistic that an officer is actually 18 times more likely to be killed by a young black male than they are to be killed by an officer. So we need to keep that statistic in mind. Yeah. And then intent there matters. Please don't shoot me. I'm not going to shoot you. And you will see this as a recurring theme because a lot of people were saying, why aren't police trained in de-escalation? This is picture-perfect de-escalation if you watch where this goes.
Well, and as a civilian, if I'm watching, it looks like an escalation when he pulls the gun out because I don't know how to read that situation. But, yeah, if you can't see one of his hands, he's opening the door without being asked to.
Right.
He's protecting himself.
That happened to me. I broke down.
You broke into a liquor store?
I broke into a liquor store. Okay, you got it. No, I broke down, and then I was trying to fix my car, and a cop pulled up behind me. And I got out of my car and walked towards him, wasn't thinking.
That's stupid.
And he was like, get back in the car. I mean, because he doesn't know who I am,
right.
Obviously.
Yeah. He took his gun out?
No. He put his hand on his gun.
Oh, because you said, get back in the car.
No, he was pointing. He was like, get back in the car, and he put his hand on his gun because Yeah. He doesn't know.
He absolutely doesn't know. That's the only point the gun is there.
Right.
And what I want people to understand is he says, I'm not going to shoot you. And that's repeated along with other instructions and amenities that will be provided for George Floyd. And I actually mean that. You'll see as we continue.
And one other thing I find to be interesting is that regardless of the race of the occupant, that is how officers are trained across the board.
Yeah.
Like regardless, like if you're reaching around in your vehicle, you are putting yourself at risk and you are indicating that you are not complying. So it would be a different story if he was reaching around and the officer, you know,
we stopped using that phrase.
Situation. Which one?
He was reaching back.
Yeah.
If you're reaching around in your vehicle, I don't want to talk
about it. I can actually say that officers are more concerned about this motion than they are this motion.
Because
the motion to the back, you have to swing all the way back around.
Right.
And sure, you could pull out and do this, but you can do this one just as well.
Right.
And most people aren't storing their firearms for ready use in the back.
And at first, he was reaching to the side, and then he was reaching
back. That's what I mean. So he's reaching here, and he's reaching back. And this is the thing. He doesn't comply, not once, not twice. Like 10 times he doesn't comply. Right. And so that becomes the place where, when you're an officer, you have to presume the worst because of the deadly situation.
And just to be clear, I think anyone here who's been pulled over, we don't do that.
Not good.
So, and it's not a white privilege thing. I just go, oh, a police officer, hands on the wheel, and I let him know that I have a concealed carry if there's a firearm in the car or not. It's really only happened once that I've had a concealed carry, but the officer says, thank you very much. There's no need to move your firearm. Right. I appreciate it. And change your registration, you dick. I go, I'm sorry, officer. That's one for you. Let's continue with the tape. We just ended it. I'm not going to shoot you.
I'm gonna get out of here, man. Please don't shoot me, man.
Again, I'm not shooting you.
I just lost my mom, man.
Pause. Didn't just lose his mom. That was 2 years ago. Okay, so again, this shows that he's just... And I don't think he's lying. I think, I mean, when you look at the toxicology report, which is 2 to 3 times what people have said the legal or lethal amount of fentanyl in his system. He had morphine. He had methamphetamine. Now, I'm not a doctor, so I've heard that there have been sort of arguments as to whether it's a lethal amount or legal amount. The point is there was a lot of fentanyl, morphine, and methamphetamine in his system. He just so happens to be, at this point, the downers counteracted the uppers. This could have been a far more violent altercation. Yeah. Really, up until the end of it, it's really just kind of more nonsensical.
Erratic,
Step out and face away.
Please don't shoot me, Mr. Officer. Please don't shoot me, man.
Step out and face away.
You're not shooting me, man.
I'm not shooting you. Step out.
Third time, I'm not shooting you.
Yeah.
Please, runs away.
Please.
He's reaching over to the side there, Bill, like you talked about.
Get out of the car.
I didn't know, Mr. Officer. I didn't know.
That's his girlfriend, whoever it is. Stop resisting, yelling that.
Notably, not yelling it at the officers, yelling it at her carmate.
Right. Carmate, that's a fun word.
Carpanion?
Hey, you come back. Stay in the car. Stop resisting, man. Yes, you are.
This is notable too. Let's keep playing.
Just
checking with the other officer. Are you good? They're still handling George Floyd.
Ask for the gentleman's ID.
Ask for the gentleman's ID. Now, pause, because this is important. You can't see because I'm in that little corner. He asked that man to drop the bag, which is totally reasonable. He said, drop the bag. He drops the bag. Can I get some ID? The man hands it over. He doesn't deal with this guy again after this.
Right,
really.
Yeah.
In other words, that's how you handle it with a police officer.
Yeah.
So if you want to say racially motivated, black man there, and by the way, significantly black man. I wouldn't say that he's a Condoleezza Rice. You know, at least Ben Carson plus.
Yeah.
Wesley
Snipes.
He goes, all right. Puts his bag down.
I don't think the officer cared.
No, I don't think the officer cared.
The officer definitely was just treating the people who were not being ridiculous.
Exactly.
Like
you have two examples of ways not to handle a woman going, we didn't even do anything.
Right.
Well, you just told him to stop resisting. One point she motions, you can't really see it here, like he's something like maybe George Floyd might be crazy. The other gentleman, the little John, the looking guy, drops the bag.
Yeah.
And I believe he said that. He goes, okay, do you have ID? He goes, and he hands it to him. And the officer's like, we don't need that, sir. Sorry. So,
Same skin color, very different behavior.
Same skin color, different behavior. Again, The idea here, the reason for the riots, is police brutality going out and hunting down black people for no reason, based on what we saw from the George Floyd tape. I don't think you're going to convince a jury that this was a racist officer, encounter, or malicious intent. Let's continue.
Hold on, can we say one thing?
Yeah.
Notice that the only person who talked about resisting was one of the observers who was a friend of the person being arrested, George Floyd.
Right.
The officer doesn't even talk about resisting until later. He continues. After he that, doesn't yeah. focus yeah. on resisting, mm-hmm. resisting, right? Because you often hear this narrative that cops will just say, he was resisting, and then, you know, just start beating people, right? Yeah. Like, had his baton out, just start hitting them.
Right.
No, he actually, even after the woman acknowledges that this is resisting, he doesn't focus on the resisting. He
right.
just talks, and then George Floyd continues to resist,
yeah.
and he finally says it,
yeah.
and yet still does not beat him senseless. Huh. As
right.
the left.
And the timeline is important, because once he gets the handcuffs on and the resisting increases, the de-escalation increases from the officers, okay. where you can almost hear in their voice a voice of like a father, like, get your crap together, man. And this is also important because the yeah. context that they worked together at the club, right? The idea
right,
was they
right.
worked together at the club,
yeah.
and this cop was a racist who had it in for George Floyd. Well, maybe this is a cop who knew that George Floyd had spent the majority of his adult life in jail and knew that after this arrest, he was probably going to be going back to the big house for a long time. And he's going, because if you take into yeah. account that they know each other, it certainly doesn't seem like this is a guy with a vendetta. It seems like a guy who knows someone who cannot get his shit together. Let's continue. Asked for ID, handed ID.
Sir, I just came to buy a tablet, and when I bought a tablet, it didn't, he didn't
oh
work.
Oh my God, he didn't even do nothing.
You go, sir. You have ID?
No, I don't. My name's Shawan Green Hill.
No.
Sir.
Okay.
I just came over to get my phone to see I don't have a purse or nothing.
Adam,
and my daughter is on her way to get me.
Lots of unnecessary information there.
A little extra.
Which just sort of wastes police officers' time. That's an F. That's an FYI for people watching. Nothing wrong with it, just aggravating. There you go. See, she goes, he got a thing going on. So now we've changed it. She's going, stop resisting! And then she tells the officer, he got a thing going on. So if you're an officer and a guy that size, this is the information that you have,
and he's
going to be concerned.
He's acting erratic, right?
Okay,
yeah.
Here we go back to George Floyd.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Yes, I was just moving earlier. Let's go.
All right, let me come on down now.
That's that tone of voice. Yeah, let's get to the car.
It's a dog
yeah,
whistle.
It's not aggressive.
It's a dog whistle for N-word.
Oh,
please go over here. Now watch. They ask him if he's on something, which we know he was.
Stay on your feet and face the car door.
I'm not resisting as he's resisting very clearly.
Yeah.
Pause really quickly, too. By the way, how you mentioned, like, some officers, we've been told the story of how officers say he's resisting and go whack, 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 whack.
Yeah, yeah.
There is a flip side of that where someone goes, ah, falls down and says, the officer was strong-arming me, man.
Hmm. Yeah.
How many times have we seen George Floyd there before anything try to fall? And how many times they dude, get up, man. Get up. Stop falling on the ground. It's like kid kung fu. Ray Romano used to talk about this, right? You go to pick up your kid before bedtime, and they just sort of slither down. You're like, you can't grab him. It's like one of those bars of soap.
Ragdoll on you that are like 20 times heavier.
One of those toys that you get like a Dollarama that keeps slipping out that looks like an uncircumcised penis. One of those things. You know what I'm talking about?
I didn't go there. Helpful analogy.
Yes, I know exactly what
that's what it looks like. And it's weird, and it's off-putting. I blame Chinese production.
Thank you.
They just don't have the quality control.
You had one, though.
So,
it's subversive.
Advertising.
Let's continue watching this. He's tried to fall down multiple times. What you cannot do is hold the officers to a perfect standard and hold someone like George Floyd or these rioters or protesters to no standard whatsoever, to a standard lower than actual criminality in the cases of many of these protesters. And we'll find out in a court of law if that's the case with George Floyd. This is where it gets, I think it's very important, again, because you're talking about ruining people's lives, these police officers. where they keep trying to de-escalate. They say, we're with you. Hey, we're with you. We're going to roll down the window. We're going to turn on the air. I want you to watch this carefully and look into your heart and think, I think that we might have been too harsh on Chauvin early on. Because outside of the training that allegedly was taught to him, before that, not a lot was done wrong here. And then it escalated, and you'll see why it escalated, unfortunately, by demand from George Floyd, who demanded to be put in the ground and refused to get in the car. Yeah. So an unfortunate situation. Not saying right now who's right and wrong. We'll see that in a court of law. But this tells a very different contextual story than we were sold, which inspired the riots. Let's continue.
We won't do nothing like that, y'all. Why is it going on like this? Look at my wrist. Was I'm not that kind of guy.
Well, if they ran your ID, they know you're exactly that kind of guy. That's where it's relevant. If they ran your ID, they know how many times you've been arrested for violent crimes. They know you're exactly that kind of guy.
Did they run the ID at that point?
I don't know if they have, but the guy knows it, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
Anything sharp on you?
I won't do nothing to hurt y'all, Bazzaza. No, sir. Bazzaza, I'm nothing.
Trying to fall again. They're supporting him up.
You got him?
Can you please crack it for me? Please.
Yes, I'm cracking.
Stay with me, man.
I will.
Please stay with me, man. Thank you.
I will stay with you. I will stay with you is what he's saying there. Look, pause. That right there, that to me is very tense. For anyone out there who's a wrestler who's done grappling, he's grabbing an underhook. Now, you can grab an underhook and make it aggressive. You can grab an underhook or no, you can grab somebody and shoulder bump them like a punch. Look at that. He's grabbing him in a way so he has control because his hands are cuffed, but it registers as a hug. Hmm. And this is while he's saying, we're going to stay with you, man. Come on, man. Yeah, please, just get in the car. We're staying with you. We're staying with you. That does not look like a man who's going out there to burn a cross on a lawn. Again, you can find officers using an underhook with someone who's cuffed and using it to commit damage. He could just as easily use that right now because he has a lever. Boom! Pound him into the car door. And no, outside of a camera, people would be none the wiser. The point is, if the intent was there, it would be very easy to accomplish. This literally looks like a man trying to comfort someone, saying, we're here, man. We're here with you. Stop.
Especially,
stop.
Yeah, especially listen as, to us. Especially as he's asking to be stayed with. He's asking somebody to stay
with
him.
He's asking to be stayed with, and he says that he's claustrophobic. It's situational claustrophobia, which applies when the vehicle is going to prison.
Right.
The destination of the vehicle.
Because it's much more roomy than the old Metro Geo that he was driving or whatever it was when he was pulled out of. In other words, now he's claustrophobic. So listen, we know that it's not really accurate at this point. No one wants to get into a cop car to be taken to jail, especially with a rap sheet that long. Keep in mind, this is often statistically when situations get more violent. We saw it with Brooks, right? When we saw it in Georgia, someone who doesn't want to go back to prison, someone who has a rap sheet, someone who might be on a 3-strike rule, it's someone with nothing to lose. And they're reaching over going, okay, man, we're going to stay with you. And this repeats itself. Let's continue.
I'm listening.
I'll roll the windows down.
Take a seat.
I'm going in, Mr. Owens. I'm going in.
No, you're not.
I gotta go in.
Take a seat.
Grab a seat.
Mind, I don't believe me, Mr. Owens.
Take a seat.
I'm not that kind of guy. I'm not that kind of guy, man.
Take a seat.
Y'all, I'm gonna die in here.
Take a seat.
I'm gonna die, man.
You need to take a seat right now.
And I just had COVID, man. I don't wanna go back to that.
Okay, take a seat. I'll roll the windows down. Hey, listen.
Dang, man.
Listen.
I'm not that kind of guy.
I'll roll the windows down.
Please,
and
man.
Put your legs in, all right? I'll put the air on.
Pause. Just real quick. He didn't just say, I'll roll the windows down twice. I'll roll the windows down if you're going to, and I'll put the air on.
Yeah, right.
That's a car service.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm surprised that's not a Lincoln Town and Country at that point.
What is this, an Uber?
I can't. Yeah, for me, at my point, I'm just saying this. This, up until here, the officers at this point were commendable, in my opinion. Yeah. Up until this point, not talking about what happened after that, but this is pretty damn good de-escalation. Yeah. I can't imagine a scenario where I wouldn't be punched in the face at this point, where I wouldn't already be on the ground. And in the case, he only ends up on the ground by request, as you'll see later on. I cannot imagine resisting, falling, pushing against an officer, refusing getting into a car without it escalating significantly more than this. Matter of fact, I would wager these cops are aware of the body cam and are trying to avoid being in the nightly news at this point because this is not really protocol. A lot of the time, especially if you're in a bad area of town, police officers are trained to try and neutralize a potential threat because they don't know what's going on around them. Some could argue that they're spending too much time trying to get a man into a car in the first place. That should happen quickly. Door closed, so you're safe.
One of the other things is, remember, just a minute ago, one of the companions in the car was giving the indication about a mental issue. Yeah.
Yes.
Guess so going on.
When you think about how these officers are treating it, I mean, 5, 6, 7 times he actively gets out of the vehicle when they're trying to get him in. You're not even seeing the stuff you see on cop shows, like fake cop shows where they're like shoving your head down and pushing you in, shoving you in. Yeah. I mean, none of that stuff. And I think that is at least some evidence to show that they were aware that they were dealing with someone that wasn't in the right mind, and they were acting on that in a positive way. Now, remember, we're asking officers to not only risk their lives every day, but be mental health counselors, to be social workers, and in that moment, you can see they're trying.
Yeah.
They are actually trying to do the best they can in that circumstance.
They were despite
the resistance.
They were more harsh with Kris Kringle in Miracle on 34th Street.
Well, that guy's a criminal.
No, he was. Claiming he was Santa Claus. That's Joe Biden-esque talking about gorillas in the koi pond.
I mean, that's almost as bad as smelling children.
It's up there. It is remarkable to me at this point that they are and keep in mind, too, they said, again, this companion of his said he got something going on. And he goes, I'm going to die in there, man. So this, again, starts to become white noise. And you'll hear him say, I'm going to die. I can't breathe. Yeah. Long before he's on the ground, he said, I just buried my mom. Right? The guy, again, keep in mind, Chauvin knows him. Probably if they've worked at the club for years. Yeah. And everyone assumed that they worked together, and therefore he was a neo-Nazi out with an agenda.
Yeah.
Instead, it seems like maybe he's empathetic here. Yeah. And he certainly would probably know that Floyd, if they knew each other, which was a narrative before, that his mom had died over 2 years ago. Yeah. So they're going, all right, this guy is out of his mind. His companion says so. He's in a panic. He's refusing to get in the car. He says he's going to die. So then later when he says again, hey, I'm going to die, or hey, I can't breathe, it's like, but you said that when we asked you to get into the back of a cruiser.
Yeah, and I think they ask him if he's on something. He says, I'm not on anything. Yeah. He says, well, why are you having trouble walking?
Right.
And so it's so they know something's going on.
Well, and that would have been the moment, right, to say, hey, I can't stand up. I can't, right? And not to say that officers necessarily believe it, but they're even trying to figure out, like, why is he acting so strange?
Right.
Yeah. And again, if he's in a state, he may not even recognize he's on a state. But in that moment, like, that's when you go, oh, I can't walk for this reason. What reason? Like, what is the reason? Like, we want to understand, do we need to support you more or not? Right?
And I will say I appreciate his poker face, because if I have anything to drink and my wife goes, did you have something to drink? I immediately go, a little bit.
No.
So if I were on fentanyl and my wife goes, are you on a cocktail of methamphetamine, morphine, and fentanyl? I'd be, scotch. I wouldn't be able to be like, no, I'm not that kind of guy. My wife would be like, you're exactly that kind of guy. You right.
You know me.
All right, let's continue watching it. Again, more of the we'll roll down the window and more accommodation.
Look at it.
We can fix it, but not while you're standing out
here. Okay, man. God, y'all do me bad, man. I don't want to die to win. I'm claustrophobic. I got anxiety. I don't want to do nothing to them.
I'll roll the window down.
What, a third or fourth time?
Hey, when I start breathing, it's going to go off on me, man. Okay. Let me count to three. I'm going in. Please.
They let him count to three like it's going in the first pool dip of the season when it's cold. And here you go is where they finally say, okay, enough is enough, and they need to get him into the car. And by the way, he just said, put me on the ground. Pulling him out of the car. So we've seen enough. That's enough for the clip. You guys can go and watch the whole clip. You can search it on YouTube if it's available. I think you might actually have to go search it on a separate white. I believe that was on a separate set. I believe that was from Daily Mail. Mm-hmm. But again, he was saying, I can't choke. I can't breathe.
Yeah.
Something else that people don't take into account. He didn't just not comply. He lied about complying and then wouldn't. He'd go, okay.
And then didn't.
Right?
Yeah.
That's very different. No. That's like every single movie you've seen, right? Every single film where a guy's been pushed too far, whether it's Henry Winkler in Night Shift with the mustard on a sandwich, where they go, and then the sucker punch, right? Yeah. It's right. The disarming. It's the, okay, I'm going to comply. There's a lot of, okay, one, two, why are you doing this, man? Listen, that happens so often with police officers. You can find security tapes of people going, okay, I'm going to, and they pull something out. Now you have a guy who reached over to his side, who reached over to behind him, who didn't put his hands on the wheel, who didn't put his hands on his head, who asked, please don't shoot me, please. The officer said 2-3 times, I'm not going to shoot you, please comply, who lied about being on drugs, who had other people there who said that the man was resisting and said that he had a mental issue going on, who couldn't stand up, who then tried to fall down repeatedly, who said he was going to die in the car, who said, stay with me. Yep. The police officer said, yes, we're going to stay with you. We'll roll down the window. We'll turn on the air. 3-5 times. And then finally started getting him into the car. If you don't believe that there was any way to try and restrain this man, you don't believe that if someone doesn't want to be arrested, that you have the right to arrest them as a police officer.
Yeah.
He went to the ground because that was by request. He didn't want to get into the car.
Yeah, right. And they consulted him, which is an odd practice. But I mean, even so, it's they are going above and beyond.
And the last portion of this tape, and this also explains, by the way, when they say, well, why didn't the other officers do anything? Well, if you're another officer and you've been holding him gently saying, we're going to stay with you, and he's going, I can't breathe. I'm going to die. I can't breathe. My mom just died. And then he's on the ground going, I can't breathe. You're not going, oh, this guy's dying. You're going, well, yeah, he said that for 8 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, and when you look at how he's getting pulled out of the vehicle, again, it's what he wanted. He was not trying to get in the vehicle in any kind of way. Didn't want to be in the AC. Didn't want to be with the windows rolled down. Wanted to be outside of the vehicle. Now, that's not to say that, again, that Chauvin was trained properly or was restraining him in the right way. Because in my mind, I wonder, if you really thought the guy was such a danger, why didn't you have multiple officers holding him down as opposed to just one elderly? I mean, I don't know how old Chauvin is. He looks kind of grisly in that in the video with his neck on the knee.
Right.
But, you know.
Knee on the neck. Neck on the knee would be a horrible attack.
Like, well, it was upside down.
That's right where I want you.
Mm. Knee on the neck. Knee on the neck.
Ow! My knee hair.
So then you wonder, like, what, you know, where at that situation was the question? And that does become the problem. When someone is saying over and over again, I have this problem, and it's clear that they're not acting on that problem, when they actually do have the problem, it does make it harder for officers to understand what are they doing. And I think to your point, was there a malicious intent? Was there bad training? Hmm. Clearly, I don't think anyone's disagreeing on that.
Yeah.
But up until that moment, the amount of grace that was given for this gentleman, and I think because the woman in the car told them that he was having problems, that's the only reason why he was treated so well up until that point, all circumstances considered.
Yeah. No, I think you're exactly right. And I think the most important component to this, not the most important, but again, the riots happened because, remember Hands Up, Don't Shoot?
Yep.
Mike Brown was just some kid who got shot by a police officer for no reason. No, turns out he actually punched the officer and was reaching for his gun repeatedly, and the officer was actually somebody who asked to serve the underserved black community, Darren Wilson. I still feel bad for that guy, because that guy got railroaded, didn't do anything wrong. This was used, again, as another catalyst, because it was a racist officer who worked at a club with him, who went out, who had a vendetta, and just put his knee on his neck because he wanted to exterminate a black man that day. That's what spurred the riots, again, $600 million in property damage, 900 officer casualties, 14,000 arrests, over 20 people dead. That was the narrative. It's pretty damn clear from this video that they weren't going out lynching or hunting a black person, which also some people were asking questions, but there were other officers here. Some of them were minority officers.
Right. Yeah.
So wouldn't they stand up if they saw this as some grave racial injustice? I think now it explains the context as to why they may not have. You don't. I still think that the training is terrible, that you shouldn't put a knee on a neck, but that really is a problem with the training. And allegedly the seminar, when someone came in and taught this technique to police officers, it doesn't show any, I don't see any sign here, any inkling of racism or looking to harm somebody. I actually see officers who are pretty empathetic, who are pretty tolerant, who know that this is someone who cannot get their crap together, is high out of his mind, is a walking, ticking time bomb, by the way. This is a man who wasn't going to live very long, and stress, this is not something new. If you're on fentanyl, I mean, you could die from fentanyl just from fentanyl, period. Right. You take fentanyl, you're dead. The size of a grain of sugar, right? Size of a Rice Krispie fentanyl. Snap, crackle, pop, you died from fentanyl. It's that bad, fentanyl. It's just a tiny little rice kernel can kill you. Fentanyl, morphine, methamphetamine can kill somebody. You add COVID on top of that, a pre-existing heart condition, and then stress of an arrest because you're likely getting into the back of a paddy wagon, going to the big house for a while. I don't even know, and this is why we have to wait to see the coroner's report that he died from the knee and the neck necessarily. And this is why it's important, because this was the catalyst for all the riots, and people want to paint the black community with a broad brush. New statistic that comes out from Gallup, 81% of black Americans either want the same or more police presence in their neighborhoods.
Well, look at that.
Only 22% want to get rid of them. You know why? Because most black people... Do I have something on my lip? Is that what's going on? Garrett, what do I have? What do I have?
No, it's just a little spittle.
I have a little spittle?
Yeah.
Was I looking like Joe Biden with a beard? Yeah. Is that what it looks like? Gorillas in the koi pond! It's remarkable to me that 81%, we'll be talking about this with Change My Mind tomorrow with a gentleman who calls himself King.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Representative of Black Lives Matter, King.
Yeah.
I will not kneel, but I appreciate the game, sir. More black Americans, 81% to be exact according to Gallup, probably feel as that black man did there, the Lil Jon black man who put his bag down and showed his ID, to be heard from again during that altercation.
No murals of that guy.
Which is remarkable to me. You'd think they would at least be a little bit more tense with him considering what's going on, and they probably afterwards had to bring him in for questioning. But most black Americans, 81%, feel as though they can probably manage police interactions like that man where it doesn't escalate to any kind of violence, and they want more or at least the same police presence. And this also may be, here's some cold water, might surprise people. This comes from Matt Rasmussen, that Donald Trump has the highest approval rating with black Americans of any modern Republican at 36%, outside, by the way, of George W. Bush as a caveat, right after 9/11. That's when he had crazy high approval ratings, but it didn't last any longer than a few months.
We're all together.
The average black vote for the GOP has ranged from 4%, by the way, up to a high of 17% with Gerald Ford, which surprised me that Gerald Ford was, up until Donald Trump, the record holder.
Sure, yeah. You don't think about him much at all.
No.
With anything.
No, you think of him as a Prince Albert-like spokesperson. A little bit of half-and-half pipe tobacco.
Yeah.
But you don't think of him as a guy who black people are like, I connect with Ford.
That's my man.
He's the bubble
for
pipe.
Me.
Yeah.
He's all about them pardons and shit. My Ford. I don't know. So this is something that's actually a pretty big surprise to me came in this morning. 36% of black
that's
Americans
great.
Approve of Donald Trump. And this is also why to those alt-rightists, the people who just try and focus exclusively on demographics, and they always say, like, well, you're never going to get immigrants. You're never going to get black people to change enough of their vote to Republican. You don't need to get a majority of black votes to be Republican. You don't need to get a majority of Latino votes to be Republican. You just need it to be more than 4 to 17%.
Yeah.
And then you make some unbelievable inroads. And this is why I don't agree with identitarian politics on the right. I don't believe that all of this is due to melanin in the skin. I believe that a lot of this has to do with cultural interactions with people right now interacting with police predicated on lies that are being fed to them from their parents. But by the way, I mean, their parents are liars, the 22%, the people who want to defund the police. Yeah. Mm. That's not the vast majority of black Americans right now. The vast majority of black Americans seem to be returning
to the
values of
family. They're just
the
loud ones. So,
well, they're just the ones who are funded by, you know, George Soros. We're going to have Alex Jones on the show in not too long.
Hey.
We do have to go. Before we tell YouTube to go piss up a kite, blackriflecoffee.com/credit. Black Rifle Coffee, they actually sponsor the show. They're wonderful. It's the only coffee that I drink in the morning. We're waiting on an order because we had to put it on pause on vacation, and we had to go get some other beans. And it, you know, like how, you know, have you ever had like a cat
a
piss on your porch?
I couldn't imagine.
It smelled like that, and it tasted worse.
This is not the Black Rifle.
This is not the Black Rifle. Yeah, this is because we had to go buy some coffee
that
wasn't
other
Black
beans.
Rifle. Yeah, pretty much any
trash.
You know, chock full of cat piss is that wonderful coffee. Wonderful coffee, chock full of cat piss. So, blackriflecoffee.com/Crowder. I believe you get 20% off your first order. The coffee is better than any other coffee companies out there, in my opinion. And it's a veteran-owned company. And they don't support everything that you hate. They're not trying to tear down everything you stand for.
Which is good.
Starbucks, chock full of cat piss. Thank you so much. For right now, we are going to go to Mug Club Exclusive and chat with you guys. But YouTube, piss off!